Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the kingdom of God, and we're talking about religion specifically as a part of our series on Christianity, because a lot of people think Christianity is a religion. And there is a religious aspect to it, but I say that because most people don't understand what religion is. And we've done a show on the definitions of religion, and just to review that and go through that a little bit so that you can understand it. If you look in a dictionary today, in 2013, we see the definition of religion as something that you believe. That's the way it's defined, as something that you believe. It says it's a set of beliefs concerning the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe, especially when considered as the creation of a superhuman agency or agencies. I thought that was peculiar how they put the word agency or agencies in there. Normally when you say an agency, you think of some sort of government agency. That's about the way our minds work. And of course, God is a government. God and His way is a way to govern yourselves and to govern yourselves as people. But of course, Cain had another way of governing you. And if you signed up with Cain or Nimrod or Pharaoh, they would govern you as well, and they would decide what was good and evil, and they would appoint judges over you to exercise authority, and those judges, those ruling judges, would be the gods of your world. And I use all those words that we use commonly, world, but I use them in the sense of the world that we see Jesus saying the kingdom is not of this world, talking to Pontius Pilate, which means his constitutional order or system of government, according to theirs. So when we start putting these words and their definitions together, we begin to get a different view and idea of what things are. As I said, in 2013, that definition of religion is a set of beliefs. And it has something to do with a superhuman, somebody who is, it doesn't even use the word God here, it just says a superhuman agency. You don't even see the word God in the definition. It goes on to say, usually involving a devotional or ritual observance. Ritual observance, when we say ritual observance, we think of some sort of just mindless perform, you know, we genuflect, we blow incense, wave our hands in the air. These are the rituals that we follow. They don't actually do anything. They're just rituals. They're show. He says often it contains a moral code, but doesn't say that it has to obtain a moral code of conduct for human affairs and specific fundamentals, a set of beliefs and practices generally agreed upon by a number of persons. So that's what religion is, according to the modern definition. But if you go back, let's just go back 100 years. 100 years is not a long time. You know, there are people I know that are 100 years old. So when they were a kid and they were starting to learn the definition of religion, they would look it up in the dictionary, and it said the outward act or form by which men indicate their recognition of the existence of a god or gods. And neither one of those are capitalized. They're just talking about any gods, any religion. But it's specifically saying it's an outward act or the form. It's not a belief. It's not what you think necessarily, although it's obviously what you do is connected to what you think. But religion was specifically the outward act. of what you would be doing to indicate that you actually believe in some sort of a God. They actually use the word God instead of just supreme, superhuman. It goes on to say in that same 1913 Webster's Dictionary, an unabridged Webster's Dictionary, having the power over their destiny, that this God would have some sort of power over their destiny, to whom obedience, service, and honor are due, the feeling or expression of human love, fear of awesome superhuman, so we see that word superhuman, and overruling power, whether by profession of belief or by the observance of rites and ceremonies. Rites and ceremonies, again, seem like, oh, walk down the center aisle. You know, the ceremonies, hold hands. These are not the essential ingredients of marriage when you, exchange rings and hold hands and now you may kiss the bride, but these are ceremonies. They're not the actual being a husband, being a wife kind of thing. And so they're relegating religion to just these ceremonies and rites. That's farther down in the definition. But the critical difference is in today's religion, it's just what you believe. In 1913, it was your actual acts, your outward acts that demonstrate, indicate what you believe. So that's a big jump to go from acts to just thinking. You know, what you're doing to what you think and believe. And that's a big jump. But let's go back even farther, because, you know, in the Constitution they mention religion, that the government's not supposed to do anything to establish, you know, a state religion. You know, they can't make any laws prohibiting the exercise of religion, what you believe. According to 2013, but what you do according to 1913. But what was the definition at the time of the Constitution? And we can go to a dictionary which is commonly used. It's connected to the Constitution of the United States. Actually, they say it's adapted to the Constitution of the United States, and that's John Bouvier's 1856 Law Dictionary. And his first definition of religion is real piety in practice consisting in the performance of all known duties to God and our fellow man or fellow men. So it's actually consisting of your performance of duties. These are actually functioning acts that fulfill some sort of duty, perform some sort of service, not only to God, but to your fellow men. It doesn't say or fellow men, it says our fellow men. It capitalizes God. It doesn't say superhuman, doesn't talk about belief. It says that it is real piety in practice, comma, consisting in the performance of all known duties. Duties, not rites and ceremonies. It's not the fact that you give your wife a ring and that you take her hands and you kiss her in a ceremony. It's that you're actually her husband. And she's actually your wife. It's the performance of duties. That's what religion was. Now, they use the word piety there. Real piety in practice, consisting of the performance of all known duties. And we think piety, oh, that's like some monk, you know, he's pious or something. But actually, if you look it up in a modern dictionary, one of the very first definitions of pious or piety is making a hypocritical display of virtue. Now, the original word didn't mean anything like that. Piety meant you're fulfilling of an obligation, a duty, specifically to your parents, especially to your father. That was piety. That is what piety meant. Words change. And with that, ideas change. And they shift the whole thinking of society in a particular direction so that you think religion has something to do with what you're doing down there at church. That religion, the word religion, has something to do with what you believe concerning a superhuman deity or creator. Religion has to do, originally, at least at the time of the Constitution, had to do with the performance of all your known duties to God and your fellow man. You were to love, according to God, according to what we read in the Bible, you're to love your neighbor as yourself. So that's your duty, to take care of the needs of your neighbor. If he's freezing in there, he has no coat, you should give him a coat. That's your duty. But the government can't make any laws accepting the establishment of religion, so the government's not supposed to be making any laws making you fulfill that duty or define that duty to your fellow men. And of course, it doesn't, really. But it appears to. Because it makes all kinds of laws that you have to contribute and provide free education for your neighbor. You have to provide health care for your neighbor, because these are part of your duty to your fellow man, to help him out when he has needs. But religion is doing that by free will offerings, by choice, by choosing. God gave you choice so that you would choose to do the right thing. But the governments of the world, they don't give you choice. They make you provide for your neighbor. If your neighbor has no coat and you have two, somebody comes to your door and takes a coat away from you. Now that's their religion. That's the religion of the governments of the world. That's how they take care of their duty to their God, small g, which are God's many, and their and your fellow men. They provide. They have social welfare. But what should have been for your welfare has become a snare. And how did you get snared into that? Because they're not really making a law that you have to contribute. You signed up. You got baptized into their system. You applied. You prayed for their benefits. You made the state your father. And now you have a pious duty to perform what the gods of your world say you must do. Because you have made covenants with them in order to obtain benefits from men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. We've talked about this. Warnings in the Bible about loving reward, loving benefits. The greatest destroyers of freedom are the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. And to desire benefits paid for at the expense of your neighbor, by force, even if you are in a contract to do so, you've made an agreement, you've joined the club, it's still covetousness. It's not stealing, but it is covetousness. It's not stealing because he signed up too. But the fact is all these welfare systems in all these countries all around the world are not supported by its members. It's supported by the future members, your children and your children's children, because they're all bankrupt. They're all in debt. New Zealand, Australia, South American countries, they're all in debt. All of the social welfare systems are in debt. And so therefore, every benefit you take, you're taking from the future. You're taking from people who have not yet signed up. You're taking from your children and your children's children and your children's grandchildren, because you'll never pay the debt off. You have returned to the vomit and mire of Egypt, and you've been brought back into bondage. And you've been brought there because you don't practice pure religion. And the reason I started this part of the series on religion is because a number of people have asked to reprint the book Covenants of the Gods, asked my help to broadcast on my radio station about their desire to withdraw consent from the world, as if they can just set themselves free. You don't deserve to be free in most cases. I don't know about you individually. I'm speaking to a giant radio audience, so you got to cut me a break here. But the fact is that generally speaking, we've been slothful in the religion of Christ. We have not been providing for the needs of our fellow men through faith, hope, and charity. So therefore, we are fit to be brought under tribute, to force us to do that duty. And we have been brought under because of our covetousness. And we have been made merchandise, human resources, because of our covetousness. Because we are not practicing pure religion, religion by faith, hope, and charity. If we are not going to take care of the needy of our society, I mean, sure, everybody's going to give to some, you know, African orphanage in some underdeveloped country. We'll send $20 this month. And they think, oh, well, see, I'm charitable. But you're not taking care of the needs of the needy in your society by faith, hope, and charity. You do that by applying to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. That is your religion. Your religion believes in force. Until John the Baptist, the kingdoms of the world were established by force, by getting people to sign up to social welfare systems. Herod was doing it. All you had to do is go get baptized by Herod's minister, registered with the temple by the scribes, and then you were guaranteed social welfare, Corban, through the treasury of Herod. Not by faith and hope and charity, but by force. And John clearly states, this is how you're supposed to do it, by charity. Jesus clearly says you're supposed to do it by charity, by love. When Jesus says the word, they translate it love. When Paul says it, they usually translate it charity. But charity is love, to take care of one another. So these people that wanted to use my books, wanted to get on our radio show, and wanted to promote their agenda to returning to the Constitution, or returning to freedom, or returning to something that they think is liberty, but did not want to talk about religion, will never be free. They'll never be free because they don't know what religion is. Now, I understand. Everybody thinks religion is what you believe. But that's because they've changed the definition. Religion is what you do. And it's how you perform and fulfill your duty to God the Father and your fellow man. But you're going to be too busy in the days to come fulfilling your duty to God, small g, the state, father, and all his socialist minions. You're going to be too busy to take care of one another. But that's why you got to do a little overtime. That's why you have to start practicing pure religion and turn around and go the other way. So anyway, that's what we covered in an article that will soon appear on News and Views. May have already done it if you're listening to a recording of this. But I promised towards the end of that article, I said next we will take a look at why real Christians were persecuted back then and what Christ was really saying and doing that restored liberty. And why you have lost that liberty because you thought liberty had nothing to do with religion. That's the last lines of the article. But anyway, so we're going to talk about some of that and take a look at some of those different methods of being real Christians, because most people are not real Christians. They're not doing what real Christians were doing, and they're not practicing pure religion. They're practicing something that is far different than pure religion. So in part two of the articles, which will again also appear on News of the Views, and we'll have it on our own website, hisholychurch.org, this idea of practicing pure religion would have to be in consistency with what James said when he defined pure religion as visiting, you know, the needy of your society, the widows, orphans, and doing so unspotted by the world. Now, again, he uses the word world there that theirs says means constitutional order or system of government. And theirs is defining that word world as a system of government. And of course, when Jesus says, my kingdom is not of your world, he's saying very clearly with the Greek language that my kingdom is not of your government, to Pontius Pilate. And whenever you see the word world, you have to know which one Jesus is using. Which one is being written down there and there by the authors in the Bible, because of the five different words that we see translated into world, they don't all mean the same thing. They mean something different. That's why they use different words. But the translators use one word and you're going to miss something. So anyway, the word that we see in the biblical text in reference to religion is threskia. And as I've said many times, most of the time when you see the word religion in the Bible, they're talking about bad threskia, the threskia of the Pharisees. And of course, the threskia of the Pharisees was a system whereby you signed up, got the baptism of Herod, you had to pay into the Corban, the treasury of the temple. The temple was a government building, and it provided you with social welfare if you were blind or if you became indigent or whatever. Well, if you had needs, they would take care of them. If you were crippled, they would take care of them. And a lot of people started saying, well, then I don't have to take care of my parents because they can go to the temple and get their social security payments from the Corban of the Pharisees because they're all members. But that makes the word of God to none effect, because the word of God is that you need to take care of your duties to your fellow men and certainly to your parents, your pious duties, piety meaning your obligation to your parents, through faith, hope, and charity, through love. And if you're doing it through the government agency that exercises authority one over the other, you're making the word of God to none effect, which is why Christ said you weren't to do it that way if you were going to be one of his followers. But today, you don't have to follow the way that Christ laid down. You just believe. You just believe in Jesus, but you don't even know Jesus if you're not doing what he said. And we'll cover that in the next show, but right now we're looking at this word threskia, which actually has to do with what you do. Again, that's why religion has to do with what you do. It doesn't mean clapping or dancing or singing. Those are kind of mindless rituals, you know. Putting a ring on a girl's finger doesn't make her your wife. It's when you become her husband and she becomes your wife. Those outward symbols, that's not really the trick. That's just an outward symbol to make a demonstration to other people. But religion is actually fulfilling your duties. So therefore, threskia means actually fulfilling your duties to God, which includes loving your neighbor, and to your neighbor, which includes those acts of love, actually caring for, taking care of. Now, threskos, or threskia, comes from a particular word, and we're going to look at what word it really comes from and what they have led you to believe that it comes from when we return to Keys of the Kingdom and take a look at the rest of the story concerning religion. Be right back. Thank you.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. And we're talking about religion, the taboo subject of religion. People don't want to talk about religion. They just want to be free. You can't be free unless you talk about religion, but you have to know what religion is. And religion is what you do to take care of the needy of your society, your fellow man, your obligations to your fellow man. Now, what does your society need? What do the people who are needy in your society need? Well, if you just go around and ask everybody, what do you need? What do you need? What do you need? They'll tell you what they think they need. But often, I mean, try that with children. What do you need? Well, I need an ice cream bar. I need a Dairy Queen. I need a popsicle. that's what they think they need. No, 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 no. You need to eat your meal first, and then you can have a treat afterwards. In other words, we see that in Thessalonians. If you don't work, you don't eat. You don't need to eat. You need to go without eating. You need to fast until you get off your lazy hind end and get to work. So, giving somebody what they need is not always giving them what they say they want or think they need. They may need to change their diet. They may need to change their ways. They may need to do a lot of things. And so you're to give them what they need. Your obligation is to strengthen the poor, not to weaken them. And we've talked about that, and I've written about that in several articles, where people say, oh no, the government needs to take care of the needy, because if we don't do that, God would curse us. Take care of the needy by what means? And what is really taking care of the needy? Making a man dependent upon your welfare, it makes him weak. It does not strengthen the poor. Look at the poor in your society. Look, how has the poor gone away since the Great Society began under LBJ, or the New Deal under FDR? Yeah, why do these guys only have initials? Why do we tell them? You know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, that philanderer guy, you know, who was the president of the United States, and his New Deal. His New Deal's not all that new. Cain had it. Nimrod used it. Pharaoh used it. Made slaves of men for centuries upon century upon century. But unless you know history, you're doomed to repeat it. And you're not going to know history unless you know the history of words. Because men are ruled by words. And you think religion has something to do with what you believe in your head. Religion always had something to do with what you do. And your obligation to your fellow man as well as to God. Threskos is the Greek word that we see, or threskia we see. In the Testaments, that is translated religion. And some people tell you that it comes from a word, threomi, that means to tremble. But a lot of scholars who have looked into it in greater depth by reading other Greek writings and reading what the Greeks said about their own language, you know, kind of looking it up in the dictionary, so to speak, of the time, have discovered that it comes from therop, meaning to serve. That's what threskos means. It means to serve. And of course, that fits right in with what we see James talking about when he's talking about pure religion, is to visit, to take care of, to provide for the needy of your society, unspotted by the world. And the word world there is constitutional order or system of government, because the constitutional orders and system of government, constitution being contracts, covenants, which of course you're not to make with the people where you go, nor with their inhabitants of the lands where you go, nor with their gods, according to the Ten Commandments, which Paul never says is done away with. He says nomos is done away with. Not in tole. In tole is the word we translate into commandments. But the word we translate into law is nomos. So he's saying the nomos is done away with. And he's specifically talking about the nomos of the Pharisees and governmental agencies such as that, who think they're superhuman and think that they have the right to rule over other humans. And they become the gods of your world, your constitutional order and system of government, and they make laws for you and decide what is good and evil for you, and they rule over you. And you're in bondage to them. And you're in bondage to them because you wanted their benefits, because the greatest destroyers of freedom are the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. You see, I do repeat myself, but I have to keep saying this. And I was told just this last week by somebody who said that you know, they were listening to my audios. They've been listening all the time now. There's hundreds of them up there. They said that I would hear you say it one way, I'd hear you say it another way, and I'd hear you say it, and then finally, all of a sudden, it would click exactly what you were saying, or at least they got a better understanding of what I was saying. Something clicked in their own thinking, in their own heart, where they suddenly realized, oh, well, this is, oh, well, now I see where they didn't see before. So, yeah, I do repeat. And I try to say it as many different ways as possible. This word therop, which is the source of the word threskos, if you look at it as a noun, it means a servant. If you look at it as more of a verb, it means to serve, to heal even, to attend, to be a servant to. The term is a term of dignity, and they make reference to it in other places. But it has to do with this healing, and we have an article up, Heal Our Land. You are not going to be a free people unless you start taking care and attending to the true needs, the righteous needs of your neighbors, your fellow men. By faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. Until you start doing that, you can kiss your liberties goodbye. You're not going to return to your liberties. You're bound in debt anyway. You can't just free yourself. You can't throw off the governments which have, you know, the bands which have bound you, because you're in debt. Even the American Revolution didn't get rid of the debt that the United States, that the people of America, in different aspects in the different states, had to the British crown. They still, if there was debt, they had to pay it. And they had to honor those obligations. They didn't get out of those. And most of you know the IRS is not a federal agency. It's really a foreign agency collecting a foreign debt. So you throw off the United States federal government, you've opened the door to an invasion of all the minions of those you owe the debt to, which is just about everybody in the world can come here and invade. And legally do so, and God's not going to get in the way of that. Because you don't have God backing you. You know, he says, go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen. I will not hear you in that day. And you've chosen other gods. You think you believe in Jesus. But you've been asking and praying to other gods and other fathers of the earth to take care of the needs of your society. Because you've been slothful in your obligations to your fellow man. You have gone into bondage because you have been slothful in the ways of Christ. Because you think believing in Christ is just thinking and saying, Lord, Lord. No, you have gone whoring after other gods to get their benefits. But that's good news to you now. Because now you can turn around and start going the other way. You can start gathering together to become the benefactors of Christ who do not exercise authority one over the other. And it will be great therapy for you, because that's where you get the word therapy, is from the same word you get the word religion. At least the Greek word religion, threskos. If you want to heal the breach in your land between you and the liberty under God, the right to be ruled by God, the kingdom of God, then you have to stop praying to the fathers of the earth who have been providing you with benefits at the expense of your neighbor, and start providing benefits for your neighbor. And who's your neighbor? Well, at least those you congregate with. And this is why the early church congregated. This is why they picked ministers, not to tell them what to believe. They already knew what to believe. Not to regulate their lives, not to rule over them, to force their contributions, But they hired ministers who were called servants ministers. Public servants to take care of the public need of society. This is what they were doing. Galatians 4:10 says, "Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." You're worried about all these other things, and you're not dealing with the essential. Set those other things aside till you get the essential. If you're in a boat that's sinking and you're out at sea, it's time to bail, not row. Get the water out of the boat. Get the foolishness out of the boat. Learn to stay afloat in a world that has gone wild with covetousness. Learn to take care of one another. Gather together. I don't care how far apart you are, gather together in heart and spirit in the ways of Christ and start tithing one to another, helping one another. You say, "Oh, well, we don't have any needs, so there's no need for tithing." No, there is need for tithing. Go out and help anybody. Go out and serve anybody, but bring with them the spirit of service that strengthens the poor. Don't just feed fat people in breadlines, unless you're going to be putting them on a low-fat diet. Of course, I don't know where you get a no-fat diet unless you grow it yourself, because most of the no-fat foods that you buy in the store are poisons. Most of the food you buy in the stores contains some form of poison or other. How did that come about? That's because you don't love your neighbor as yourself. Christians don't grow GMOs. That's just the way it is. Christians can't, they wouldn't want to grow GMOs. They know that that would be poisoning people. You know, they would want to grow good food. They wouldn't want to alter God's creation in such a heinous and evil way. There are very few Christians in the world today, very few. But there's room for lots more if you will repent and turn around. Now, every government today has some form of religion, some form of means by which they fulfill their obligation to their fellow man and care for the needy of their society. There are two ways in which to do that. And John the Baptist preached one that was by charity. But until John the Baptist, most people were preaching one that was based on force. One system believed that you had a right to practice private religion according to your God-given conscience, what you believed. And the other religion was a public religion. It was run by ministers who exercised authority through their constitutional order or system of government, through their world, through their system of self-government or government of not, I shouldn't say self-government. They were self-government in the sense of a collective. They all had one purse of rights. They weren't self-government in the sense of individual self-government. This is the two religions of the world. One takes care of the needy. Both have to take care of the needy. Both have to fulfill an obligation of performance. And they do this basically in a pious sense to their father. But their father is in heaven, not in, you know, Brisbane or London or Ontario or Washington, D.C. or wherever. Their father is in heaven. And they fulfill their obligations to their fellow man through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. So therefore, they are at liberty. Those who do not do that, what should have been for their welfare becomes bondage, a snare, a trap. And Paul tells us this. But all you guys who are up there in la-la land, thinking that you believe in Jesus Christ, and that when Paul says, "my brethren," he's talking about you, He's not talking about you. He's talking about those people who are actually doing what Christ said. He didn't invent a new gospel. He didn't reveal a mysterious gospel that none of the other apostles knew. Peter knew this gospel. He even tells you that my brother Paul is going to tell you about things that are hard to understand. Why did Peter know they're hard to understand? Because Peter knew that they were only revealed by revelation. Even if you read Paul and you don't have the revelation of the Spirit, you will not understand Paul. And I have example of example after example of that, and we may get into that in the next show. Because I've just went around and around with another guy who does not understand the gospel of Paul, which is the gospel of Christ. And he's under a strong delusion. He is actually serving the beast. And thinks that God told him to serve the beast. Because he doesn't understand Paul. One system sets society free because it is based on free will choice. And love through charity. And the other one is based on forcing your neighbor to contribute into a treasury run by men who exercise authority one over the other. That is the division between the two religions of the world. There are only two religions in the world. Did you know that? If we define religion as it was originally defined and not as this denominational what you believe, whatever you think. You know, we hear about outcome based education where there is no wrong answer, and you know that it's you know, whatever you think is true, that's what's true, you know, kind of thing. That's what you're seeing in these definitions. The spirit of that, the spirit of evil, is pervasive in the world today, and it's writing your dictionaries, it's writing your laws, it's writing your news, it's writing your Bible commentary, and you're believing it. It's not that complicated. This is pretty simple. You want to be free, set your neighbors free. It's as simple as that. You want to be free, set your neighbors free. How do you set your neighbors free and still fulfill your obligation to your fellow man and to God? Because God said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Christ said, feed my sheep. How do you do that? Unless you gather together and contribute to men of service. Now, if your ministers are not men of service, if there are men of rituals and ceremonies, and not actually performing the obligations and services of a kingdom based on righteousness, a government, a way of living together in righteousness, then don't give to him anymore. If he has led you into bondage, why are you paying his salary? If he has brought in damnable heresies that has delivered you back into the bondage of Egypt and deceived you about the gospel of the kingdom that sets men free, then stop paying him. That's simple. Find somebody who's actually telling you the truth. Find somebody you can gather with and will actually watch out for everybody in your little local congregation and connect you with all the other congregations who are doing the same, following the way of Christ. And if you have no needs amongst you, still pay in so that you go out and help other people. But bring with you in that aid the Spirit of Christ. If you will not repent, neither will you be forgiven. If you will not change your ways, neither will I support you. If you will not come together to help others, why should I help you? I would be helping you sin. I would be helping you be lazy. I would be helping you be neglectful. Everybody can do something. Everybody can do something. And everybody should do something to receive the benefits. They won't do enough. You won't do enough. You're still saved by grace, and you should bring grace with you when you go out to do your charitable works. I go on to say, one group believed in the influence and power of a spiritual creator or father in heaven, and the other formed a belief in a superhuman agency of men, created by men to rule over men with an exercising authority. Which one are you? Which religion do you belong to? Which place do you pray to get your benefits of society? To men who exercise authority, or to men who will not exercise authority one over the other, but come to serve only? This is why you're not free. It's because of your religion, or lack thereof. You know, I know a lot of guys that they don't want any benefits from government. They don't want to pay into government. They want to cheat on their taxes. But then with the money they save when they cheat on their taxes, are they out there taking care of the needy of their society? No, they're just going out and spending it on themselves. They don't even take care of their own family in many cases. Well, there's no kingdom there. There's no Christ spirit there. One system of private religion, in other words, you gather together in free assemblies, which you have a right to do still, to take care of the needy of your society by free will offerings, looking out amongst yourselves and finding men you trust. All these words are right out of the Bible. This is what they were doing. This is what church was. It was the welfare of society based on free will offerings and the perfect law of liberty. You still have needed that, because the only religion you have is the public religion that exercises authority. And it is your religion that has brought you into bondage. That it is what should have been for your welfare that has become a snare. You have sat and ate with rulers with great appetite, instead of putting a knife to your throat, as it says in Proverbs, because he serves you deceitful meats. You know, when Paul talks about been a snare, he's just quoting David, who said, what should have been for your welfare has become a snare, a trap. And that's why you lack freedom. You cannot fix this unless you change your religion. Not changing, I don't care if you're Lutheran or Presbyterian or whatever. And in the article I write, I says it doesn't, you're not supposed to believe in your priests, in your monks, in your pastors, in your imams, in your whatever. There's all these different titles for these different religions, because those religions are just simply things you believe. That's not what religion was. It's what you do. And the way you take care of your needy is through men who exercise authority one over the other. They call themselves benefactors, but they don't give you anything except what they take away from your neighbor, which is covetous, which is why you've been made merchandise in human resources. It's plain and simple. The faithful that Paul talks to and about, the brethren Paul talks to and about, are actually taking care of the needy of their society through faith, hope, and charity. If you aren't doing that, then Paul's not talking to you. You are not saved, and you are not following in the ways of Christ. You need to know the real Christ. And we'll talk more about this when we return to Keys of the Kingdom.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.